From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
Place on absentee votes. I mean, it is not unreasonable to say that people who vote by mail have to sign their ballot. It's not unreasonable to say that they have to have a witness signature. It's not unreasonable to demand voter ID.
Get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America.
And good evening, America. This is Bill Cochran. This is the Only in America show. And we will be talking about politics tonight. Yeah, politics. Just think about it. Politics. We're in a political season right now, and it will be a busy one this year. Everybody knows it. Everybody understands it. And everybody sees it. I mean, it's been going on, especially with Donald Trump, since 2015. The day came down, the golden escalator. Yes, I said golden escalator. Donald Trump is the only president that ever went into office and came out worth less money than he was when he went in. And can you imagine this guy, this man, this wonderful person is going to do it again? I mean, he's going to do it again. He's going to give the country another go at it. Right now, today, he's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, because he wants to win Michigan. He wants to win that state again. Well, maybe he didn't win it the first time. At least that's what they said. It was very, very close. It was very close in Pennsylvania, very close in Georgia and Wisconsin. But this year, who knows? Maybe it's going to be a blowout for Donald J. Trump, one of the greatest presidents, I feel, that ever sat in the Oval Office, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and he's running against a man that I consider, not a very good president. I don't know what you think. Do you think he's a good president, Joe Biden? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Are you? Come on, tell me the truth. Tell me. Give me a call if you want, 727-441-3000. If you can tell me you're better off because now the price of a gasoline gallon, almost $4 a gallon right now. When Donald Trump was in office, yes, it was below $2 per gallon, and Americans were happier. Americans had more money in the bank and more money in the pocketbook that they could spend on themselves. So we'll see what happens. And if you want to call us, like I said, 727-441-3000, 727-441-3000. I'm here with Juan tonight, the producer. How are you, Juan? Juan is producer for over 40 years, did you say?
40 years.
40.
Almost 40 years.
You must have been a teenager when you started, right? A teenager, Juan.
Yes.
And Juan got into the broadcasting business in the radio, which I consider the greatest venue ever in America, is the radio, AM radio, especially AM. And this station is AM and FM. Wasn't always FM, but it's AM, FM, 1340 AM, 106.1 FM. And it's a great a way to get out and talk about what you feel. And it's a call-in show, and we'd love to have some callers tonight. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We got some clips set up that maybe Juan could set one up right now, maybe play a clip for the audience to listen to. Okay, go ahead.
Tesla sales fell 8.5% the first quarter of this year. Ford this week is laying off two-thirds of its workforce at the F-150 electric Lightning plant. It's also scaling back a battery production facility because of sagging sales. EV sales are nowhere near what this president wanted or expected, yet the administration continues to shove them down consumers' throats. Why?
Well, let's be clear. Consumers have wanted and purchased more EVs every single year than the year before. And, Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever.
Tesla sales fell 8.5% the first quarter of this year.
There's Pete Buttigieg, telling a story about electric cars. And everybody's got a story to tell about electric cars. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. But the trouble is, with electric cars, is we're not ready for it. Americans cannot afford a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 car at this time, right now. Maybe someday the electric car will be something that people will be able to afford. But I think that maybe what they should do is make a car that gets 100 miles per gallon. 100 miles per gallon. Can you imagine? They've got hybrids right now that are getting 40 to 50 miles per gallon on the road. But that's not enough for the climate change people. They want to have a car that doesn't take gas. But, you know, the electric car, that runs off fossil fuel. Does anybody know that? Does anybody know that when you plug your electric car in, say up at the library up here in Dunedin, there's a couple of plugs out there in the parking lot, or maybe you go to Wawa, and you get a plug, you know, and you sit there for a couple hours and you charge your battery. Or say you're going up to Timbuktu in Minnesota and there's a snowstorm and you don't find a place to plug your car in. But Pete Buttigieg, he figures Americans should buy the electric car because of a guy like John Kerry, or because of a guy like Bernie Sanders, or because of these people that have sold this bill of goods to the American people about climate change, about how the climate is changing because of your gas-driven car, diesel-driven car, diesel-driven trucks. They want to school buses that are electric? Where does the battery come from, Americans? Where does the battery for an electric car come from? Or for an electric school bus, where will the batteries come from? Yeah, they'll come from China, most likely. China, maybe. Maybe another country. It won't be here. We won't be building electric batteries here anywhere soon because of the environmental impact it has on the ground. And everybody knows that in a political way of life, but they want the Americans. Maybe they just don't want you to drive. Maybe they just want you to walk, take the bus, public transport, even a golf cart. If you get one of those, they're running on electric batteries that use fossil fuel to power them, because the fuel that powers the power that goes into the plant is fuel that comes from the ground. They call it fossil fuel. Trump calls it black gold. He says, drill, baby, drill. This is what he wants. He wants America to be self-sufficient when it comes to the oil industry. That's what Donald Trump would love. And Pete Buttigieg telling the American people that we need to get used to buying electric cars and that Americans are happy, that's a lie. It's under 5%. I think 3% of the people in America own electric cars. Maybe it's a little more, maybe it's a little less. But you can tell me, if you drive up and down the main road, you do not see a lot of electric cars riding around. You see a few more now than you used to see, but they're not being sold out. People are still buying gasoline cars. And I think that if you have a car that gets 30, 40 miles to the gallon, you're pretty happy, but that's not good enough. They want you to have no pollution, is what they call it. I was a gasoline dealer for many, many years. I was a Shell dealer, sold many gallons of gasoline over the years, many of them. And when I first started, cars only got 10, 12, 15 miles to the gallon back in the late 70s. Today, cars are getting 40, 50 miles to the gallon, and that's pretty good. And the air is pretty clean in America, but what about China? Because of climate change, are the Chinese going to change anything? Are they going to drive any cars that are they going to make it any better off? Are they going to adhere to these rules that the UN or the whoever they are, these people, these elitists, are trying to drain all the money out of your pocket so that they can just redistribute the wealth of America? And then a guy like Donald Trump comes along and he wants to drill, baby, drill. He wants to open up those fracking pipe pipelines. He wants to have the Keystone Pipeline restarted when he takes office. He wants to get the country humming again because he knows that America would make a lot of, yes, money. We want to make money. We don't want to spend money. We want to make money again. Make America money again. That's what Donald Trump wants to do. He's a billionaire. He knows how to make money. You can't knock him for that. If you can become a billionaire in America, you must know how to make money, or you're very lucky, you know? Or you become a politician and you become a millionaire, like some of the politicians are trading stocks, you know? You know the names, a lot of people. There's a lot of people right now that understand that politics is broken in America. But the heartbeat of America right now is dimming, and we need a new change. We need Donald Trump back in office in November, and that's what this show is about. This show is a Make America Great show about Donald Trump and about America, about the greatness of this country that was founded by framers that wanted you to have freedom of speech, wanted you to have freedom of religion, wanted you to be able to bear arms. Yes, bear arms. Bear arms. Do you know what that means? Means you should be able to own a weapon in your house. Is that a good thing? They thought so. Free speech a good thing? They thought so. Is it a good thing to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? The framers thought so. But there's people today that want to take that away. They want to censor you. They want to put you where you cannot say what you feel about your life in America. Is that the America you grew up with? You grew up in? Not the one I did. But there are people in this country today. I don't know how many, but there's a lot of people. Probably not as many as you don't want it. In other words, we're at a tipping point right now. Joe Biden wants to take away. Donald Trump wants to give back. That's my feeling. That's my thought. That's what I feel is happening right now. That's why he's going all over the country to rallies, and people are waiting for hours in line to see him speak, to hear him speak, because he has a positive message about America. America's name has always been based off good. Not just the good that America does in America, but that the country does in the world, this great country. This great country, America, is a country that has a lot of life left in it. But the heartbeat right now is a little dim. How'd you feel when Biden spoke the other day at Easter? How did you like his speech if you listened to it? How did you like him, you know, calling the Easter Bunny the Oyster Bunny? That's what he said. I didn't say it. Look it up. Oyster Bunny. The Easter Bunny. Joe Biden. Joe Biden, 50 plus years in politics. Joe Biden. And still doing everything he can do to make your life not as easy as it should be. He wants to tax you up, wants to change the taxes, wants to do a lot of things, wants to take away your right to bear arms, I believe. At least he said it, you know. Wants to give the government more power, the DOJ and the, you know, all the different bureaucrats that were never elected. Wants to give them more power and take away from the sanctity of life in America, you know? 727-441-3000, if you want to give me a call. This is Bill Cochran, 727-441-3000. We're going to play another clip, and play that one you got set up there, Juan, please.
And we need protections in place on absentee votes. I mean, it is not unreasonable to say that people who vote by mail have to sign their ballot. It's not unreasonable to say that they have to have a witness signature. It's not unreasonable to demand voter ID. These are all things in an election cycle that are absolute cornerstones of election integrity. And we need states like Michigan and other states all across the country to provide a level playing field and fair, accurate, and transparent election. And
I'm looking for a thumbtack. We need the thumbtack. We need integrity in voting. Does anybody know that? I mean, this is live radio. If you're driving across the bridge right now, going over to Tampa, and you're listening to me, this is a show that we talk politics. And I know maybe around dinner table, you don't want to talk about politics. You don't want to talk about things that maybe upset you right now. But the country needs to talk about these things. This country has got a lot of life in it, but a lot of life has been taken out of it by the administration right now that's in charge. And I think it's a bunch of globalists, maybe elitists, maybe people that want to take over the country from within and take away your speech. I mean, during COVID, does anybody remember when you couldn't say anything against the vaccine? If you did, you would be ostracized or told that you were wrong. And this was something that the government was pushing. And now we have people coming across the southern border by the tune of millions of people, maybe 15 million people by the time it's all over. But who knows? Maybe more. And where are they all going? How many of them had the COVID vaccine shot? I don't think many of them did. Maybe none of them. I don't know. You know, nobody knows, because nobody knows where they are or who they are. They're in the country right now, and Joe Biden just continues to want them to come in more and more. And maybe it's because he's figures they're going to vote for him someday. They're going to vote for the Democrats someday. And I just don't know whether this is their plan. It probably is, but you know, I have nothing against people coming into the country legally and again, against immigrants. I have nothing against fleeing a country that is under communist. I have nothing against that, but I don't think they should be able to vote if they don't, I don't think it makes it fair in the voting booth for the people that are in the limelight of the voting area where they maybe it's something they're trying to stack it against against the voters. But you know, when you talk to people like Hillary Clinton, and she's kind of a coming out of the woodwork. Everybody's going against Trump. Everybody, even the Democrats, even the Republicans. There's so many Republicans that are never Trumpers that just don't want to see him in office. Thank you, Juan. And I'm on Facebook Live if you want to tune into Facebook Live. And we're on YouTube Live right now, the Only in America show. And we're in a beautiful state, a lot of traffic. A lot more traffic than there ever was, and I'm sure Juan notices that too. Coming to work, he's coming to work in a car, gas driver, gasoline, not an electric car, but there are electric cars. You know, I don't envy. I mean, I don't knock anybody that might have an electric car. I just don't think we're ready for that. I don't think we're ready. I don't think the auto industry should be able to, should be mandated to give up making engines that are burned off that beautiful, beautiful black gold, like Donald Trump calls it. Donald Trump comes up with some wonderful sayings, you know, but he says, drill, baby, drill. And as a gasoline dealer back in the 80s, I can remember when we were begging Saudi Arabia, especially in 1979 when we had a gas shortage, they were begging them to give us oil, give us gasoline on the tankers to come halfway across the world into America, because we had lines at the pump. We had lines at the pump during the Iranian hostage takeover. And everybody remembers, it's my age, they can remember going up to a gas pump and going in and maybe being the last car in and running the gas owner coming out. And I did it a few times, saying to the people, I'm out of gas. I'm out. how many gallons do you have in your car? Maybe they had enough to get home, and then they'd be in there the next day. And this went on for months and months and months and months. And the grid cannot handle an electric car country. The grid, the power grid, cannot handle it. And anybody that is in that type of a business knows it. They all know that America could design a car that would get 100 miles to the gallon, maybe 150 miles to the gallon, downhill. Who knows? Big trucks, maybe 50 miles to the gallon. Back in the old day, back in the 70s, the cars would get 10, 12, 15 miles to the gallon. And then they came along with Toyotas. Then they started bringing in Mazdas from Japan. They started bringing in Hondas from Japan. And Japan was making a fortune off Americans because Americans knew that they could get a lot more gasoline for their buck in a small car. So what did the auto industries in America do? Ford, GM, Chevrolet, they started building smaller cars. They started building cars that would get better gasoline mileage per gallon. They didn't start building electric cars. Electric cars that you got to plug in and maybe wait 2 hours, maybe take a trip from here to New York and stop five times in a car. I know people that have done it. Sometimes they stop 10 times. Sometimes they can't even get to a charging station, so they have to stop for the night because the place where the charging station was may be closed. We're not ready for it. What do you think? 727-441-3000. What do you think about that? I mean, are you driving right now? Or maybe you're over there on the beach and you just drove across the causeway and you got over there and you're watching the beautiful sunset on Clearwater Beach like people do. People come from all over the country to get here. How do you get here? Airplane, jet. Jets used to not be as good in the sky with pollutants. Do you remember the old days when the jets would take off and you'd see the smoke coming out of the engines? You know, the old DC-8 707s, the old 727s, and the smoke would come out. But they came a long way, where now you look up in the sky at a jet, you don't even see anything coming out. Even though they're burning thousands of gallons of fuel, they've changed. We can't get rid of the fossil fuel in America. We can't dry up the fracking in America. We can't stop the propane business in America and the natural gas and the gasoline. We can't and expect to be a country that prospers. You need the gas. You need the fuel to heat your home. There's no doubt about that. And everybody knows it. So why do people listen to John Kerry, who flies a jet over to the wherever, over in Swiss Alps, and goes to these climate things, and he doesn't know what he's talking about? Americans are so smart. Sure, we've got pride. Hey, we got free speech. And when you talk, you might say something that's wrong, but we have free speech. Why can't a politician say what they want? Why can't I? Why can't you? Who told you you couldn't? America is the greatest country in the world. And it wants to stay that way. America is crying out for America to come back. The heart of America is hurting right now. Right now. We're at the bottom of the hour in Clearwater, Florida. What does that mean? That means we go to a commercial. And one, I'm going to go to a commercial. I'm going to promote MyPillow. MyPillow, who's been sponsoring my show since 2017. Long time. I took a trip up to the plant back in November of 2017, and I went through Mike Lindell's plant, a big, beautiful plant where he was making 80,000 pillows per day in Minnesota. Mike Lindell, the pillow guy. Does anybody remember Mike Lindell the first time you saw him on TV? He's the most noticed person on television. And at the Trump rallies, they say he's second behind Trump as a rock star. The guy's a rock star. And you know why? Because he's made America sleep better with the MyPillow. And now he's got a MyPillow 2.0. He's got the prices, best prices ever. Best prices ever. It's a new design. It's a 2.0. It's the second pillow. A little better than the first pillow he came out with. $25 for a premium MyPillow. If you use my promo code Bill, USA, Bill, USA, call 800-954-9168. That's my line. You call that line and you're going to get Bill USA, 800-954-9168. Or order online at MyPillow.com and you're going to get the Giza Dream bed sheets for $59.98 for the queen or $69.98 for the king size. You might have a queen bed and you might want to throw the king size sheets on it because you will sleep like a king if you're a man and like a queen if you're a woman. Mattress toppers. They are so comfortable. I've got one, you know, $99 for a mattress topper with the promo code USA. Bill USA. And there's too many specials to go on, you know. I got to do I'd run out of airtime to keep talking about it. And Juan, maybe we could play that, if you got that beautiful, beautiful song that everybody knows, go ahead and play it right now, Juan.
The best night's sleep in the whole wide world is MyPillow.com.
Promo code Bill USA, promo code Bill USA, and we have a caller. Okay, hello. Hello.
Hello there. Hello. Hi, Bill. This is Anders Edwardson calling.
Oh, hi, Anders. The man that wrote the book. The man that wrote that great book, Radical Betrayal, you know. I've read your book, Anders. Hey, and he's you're a political scientist, right, a degree. Can you go ahead and tell me a little bit about your life, Anders?
Yep. As you said, I'm a political scientist and a historian, and I focus on modern American history. And as this listener may hear on my accent, I'm not from around these parts. I'm originally from Sweden, but I'm a proud U.S. citizen now, and I'm sitting here and wanted to share a few observations with you about the upcoming election.
And you probably want me to give you a free pillow, right? If you do that, is that true? Because I'm gonna have to get your address and I'm gonna order you one, maybe, you know. But I would love to hear that. That would, and you know, that won't be like a bribe. That'll be maybe just to make you sleep better, so you can being from Sweden like you are. Maybe you have a special Swedish pillow. I don't know, you know.
No, I sleep like a baby,
okay.
As long as the bed isn't too soft.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Yeah, share some views you have, Anders. Go ahead.
Yes, I know you are, and probably, hopefully, many of your listeners also are very interested in opinion polls, like 7 months out from the most important election in modern U.S. history. And right now, I am sitting in front of the computer and I'm looking on the poll average. And right now, if we take every poll for face value, Trump will win bigger than he did in 2016. Mm. However, it's razor thin in many states. So I don't know if you have any special states you want me to dig into. And
well, why don't you answer me this? Why do you feel that Trump will win? Because why? What would be some of the reasons, do you think?
Yeah, right now, as I said, I'm just sitting and looking at the latest average on polls from all 50 states. And if every poll is correct and every average is correct, Trump will win 312 electors and Biden 226. and you need 270 to win. So Trump can actually afford to lose two or even three of the states he is up in right now and still win the White House.
How is he doing in Florida, would you say?
Trump. Oh, he's somewhere around, let me go in and see the exact number here. I would say he is around 8% plus.
Wow. How about in Wisconsin? That's a good state. If you have those states in front of you, Wisconsin, how is that looking for Trump?
That is one of these razor blade types. There, Trump is up only less than 1%.
In Texas?
0.8%.
How about Texas, where the border crisis is? How about Texas?
Texas, he is up almost 9% there.
Wow.
So that's slightly better, I think, than he was in 2020.
Well, that's promising. I guess maybe if we keep, Trump's going to the rallies. He's out there. He's being indicted. He's speaking out. He's got his a lot of legal problems. But I think I think he's going to get a lot of the younger vote this time, and a lot of the Latino vote, I believe, and even a lot of the African American votes, right?
Absolutely. There's other polls out there, and all those three key demographics you just mentioned, young, Latino, and African-American, they are either evenly split or they are slowly but steadily moving towards the Republican side.
Now, answer me a question. You came to America from that beautiful country of Sweden. How could you leave a beautiful country like Sweden and come to America? What drew you here? What was it that drew you to this great country? If there were three things, what would those three things be?
Texas weather and socialism.
Okay. Taxes. Taxes, weather, and socialism.
And socialism.
Yeah, you said, well, I want to go to America because there's no taxes. Is that what you figure? We don't have any taxes? We got taxes.
Lower taxes.
Oh, lower. Okay, good. Good weather. But we don't have any good weather right now in the middle of the country where there's going to be all these tornadoes, I believe. You know, you just picked Florida because of the beaches, right?
Among other things. Okay. And the wonderful people down here. But I actually spent the winter in North Dakota, so I know how horrible it can be up there.
And what about Sweden's weather? What's the weather there normally, the climate? Cold?
I would say like in Maryland or something like that. Maryland, Delaware, Northern.
Don't
Virginia.
Say Delaware, where that's not on. Delaware, not Delaware. Hey, why does Biden go to the beach so much? Do you know? Does he think he's a? Is he trying to sell a brand of bathing suits or what? You know, he's laying there on the beach, Biden.
I don't know. Maybe I forgot where he lives.
I mean, if you look at, you don't see a lot of presidents laying there on the beach outside of the wannabe president, Chris Christie, when he went to the beach after Hurricane Andrew, you know, and you don't see a lot of them laying there on the beach. Maybe they just don't let them take pictures of them, I don't know. I think a lot of the discouragement right now is the economy. I think the economy, when it comes to the people's pocketbooks, I think people are seeing the difference right now in the difference between Trump's economy and Bidenomics. He calls it Bidenomics. He thinks it's like Reaganomics. You know, Reaganomics at least worked. You know, Reaganomics.
Yeah. I would say it's first and foremost inflation that is Biden's problem, because the increase has tapered off, but the prices haven't gone down. The food and gas and stuff are much more expensive now than they were 4 years ago.
Right.
And that's what people see. Not the, okay, the Wall Street is happy and has record numbers, but and that's good for people for 401k or whatever it's called, but that's in the future. Right now, they just want to get food and gas prices to go down.
Yeah. And that, now the polling is done, what, weekly, monthly? How often do these polls come out that you're looking at? Normally,
it depends. In so-called swing states, it's often the closer to the election we come, it will be several polls a day. In a deep blue or a deep red state, where there is no real game, they may do one a month or something like that. So it's completely dependent on what state you're looking at.
And I think a lot of the Trump, they call it Trump derangement syndrome, and you know they're doing it so it's so blatant that Americans are seeing it. They see Atlanta, they see New York City, they see Washington D.C. They see these different cases going on, and they understand that this man is being let's face it, it's political. There's a name for it. You know, he's being like a banana. It's like a banana public, banana republic. You know, they're trying to take him down by using the political opponent is no good. And I'm going to use the guy in office to get him out instead of having a fair and honest and good American, good old election, you know, right? I guess.
Yeah, I must say it's a sad day. I honestly thought that I would never experience a time when a sitting American president was trying to lock his opponent up. That's something that happened in like Brazil and Argentina in the 1980s.
And all he would have to do is make a phone call and call Merrick Garland and tell him no, hands off Trump, and make a fair election, make an honest election, and all he that would all be all it takes. But he must not think he can win, right?
That it's implicit that they are nervous. The president shouldn't call the Justice Department and tell anything either. Go after them or don't go after them. That's not the president's job. But it's obvious that the administration is, as a whole, on the bandwagon for trying to lock Trump up.
And Trump. One thing about him, he's got a lot of a base of people behind him, and the only way he could ever lose those people would be if he did it to himself. And when people see somebody going against somebody that you like, you support them more. And maybe the friend next door that you had that you didn't like Trump, you might go over and knock on his door and say, come on, I want to talk about Trump. And you got something to talk about. Maybe the two of you could say, why are they trying to put Donald Trump in the can, behind bars, a president of the United States? That presidential office used to be pretty much off limits, you know? I mean, we didn't even like to talk about the president, you know? But now there's no limits there, you know?
Yeah, no, the Democrats has a history when it comes to have bad Secretary of Justice or whatever it's called, the DOJ, but this is unprecedented. It has never happened before. I mean, they say that Nixon was a crook. He was an angel compared to what's going on.
Well, Nixon said he wasn't a crook, remember?
Yeah.
I'm not a crook.
People around him.
I'm not a crook. I like Nixon. I think between you and me, they all have a little devious side, no matter who they are. That's how they become president, you know? That's the history of the presidents. If you read about them, none of them were perfect. You know, we don't want a perfect president. We want a president that's going to help our pocketbook, going to secure our border, going to keep our military respect and revere our military, make us strong, make our other countries at least respect us, you not be, you know, be a little... We're the most powerful country in the world, you know? We still are, even under Biden. You know, we're a little tattered right now, but, you know.
Yeah, it wouldn't take much for Trump or someone else, new president, to get America back on track. But right now, it started with a disaster, the leaving Afghanistan fiasco in 2021, and... It's right now the only thing we seem to be good at is paying money to Ukraine.
Yeah, the 13 brave soldiers that died on that day. I had one of the Gold Star mothers on my show last year, and you know, she said Biden never even would say her son's name, the son that gave his life for this great country. Biden will not recognize those 13, you know, and that is a big problem for Americans, you know, because the ones that gave their life for this country are to be revered by the country, you know.
Yeah, I can only agree.
You can only agree. Well, I thank you for giving us a call and sharing your political science. What a degree. That must be a pretty hard degree to get, right? I mean, a political
science. It takes a lot of reading.
A lot of reading, writing, and no arithmetic, yeah. Right? Just read.
I would be glad to come back on the show now and then and share the latest numbers with you if you want.
I'd love to have you back, and I'm going to get you my pillow. So I'll get your address on the side there. Okay. I'll give you one in person, you know, but I appreciate your book as well. American, what's the name of the book again, Anders, your book?
Radical Betrayal, How Liberals and Neoconservatives Are Wrecking American Exceptionalism. And you can buy it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, thank you for your knowledge, and thank you for your patriotism, and thank you for coming to America from Sweden. God bless you, Anders, okay?
You too, and thank you for having me.
Okay, bye. And that was Anders Edwardson. He has a book on Amazon. It's American. It's Radical Betrayal is the name of it. Radical Betrayal. And it's on Amazon. You can get it on Amazon. Anders Edwardson. He's going to be calling in from time to time and giving us the polls of the election. You know, We're watching Trump. You know, we can watch Senate. I think we'll win the Senate back. I believe that. I believe the Republicans will have a new Speaker of the House. It won't be Mitch McConnell because he's resigning. I hope it's a good one. I hope it's a better one. I hope it's someone. Mitch was, you know, in there a long time, you know, maybe a younger one. Congress is going to be a challenge because so many of the Republicans are leaving, retiring, going to better, bigger, and better, even young guys that were voted in are leaving because of a little clash, like Mike Gallagher, yeah, leaving. And I think he was a Navy SEAL, but he's leaving. You know, Congressman Buck, Santos, they kicked him out, you know, which was, I don't know if that was a good thing to do, but that's what they did. So they got rid of Speaker McCarthy. And now they have Mike Rogers, who they're fighting with as well. So it's a battle. But nothing wrong with that sometimes. This is America, you know. As long as we can speak, we can, I guess, argue and fight. And we're going to play another clip there, Juan. And I got Juan tonight. Great guy, great producer, a lot of years, 40 years experience. Boy, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters. Younger people of color, particularly males. We're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
You know? James Carville. They're leaving in the droves. Jim Carville, the great spokesperson, the great strategist for the Democrat. They're leaving in the droves, he says. He sounded like he'd had a few scotch and waters maybe before they said that. He had an LSU shirt on, being from Louisiana, you know. He said they're leaving in the droves. He didn't just say the white Americans. He said all the other ones, you know, because the biggest threat to Joe Biden is the whites, white national. What did he call white separatists? I don't even know. He's got names. They got names. And he's white himself. What's he talking about? What are you talking about, Joe? Do you know? Easter Bunny wondered. Easter Bunny was there with them. They had two Easter Bunnies this year. Last year, the Easter Bunny helped them go back into the off the stage. Does anybody watch that? Probably most people don't even watch that, except the kids that want to get the Easter eggs. But Joe Biden is he's getting ready for summer. You know, June, July, he'll be on the beaches in Delaware, and he'll be thinking about another 4 years. Be into his late 80s if he gets 4 years when he's finished. I think he's going to be 82, maybe, and wants another to be elected. Trump will be 77, I believe. Well, Trump's only going to be able to serve one term. You know, he's going to be able to serve one term, and hopefully somebody like Ron DeSantis might come right up after him. And everybody's wondering who the vice presidential pick is going to be. A lot of people are talking about maybe Ben Carson. Ben Carson, a very smart man, brain surgeon up at Johns Hopkins, and he was on Trump's administration, you know, and a very smart man, very brilliant man. Ben Carson, nice man, never bailed on Trump. I guarantee it's not going to be Mike Pence. There's no question, Mike Pence. I was disappointed in Mike Pence, and he was in charge of the COVID. Fauci, he was in charge of all that. You know, you wonder. People wonder why people in America, you know, we think about conspiracy theories, you know. Remember how they shut you up? Remember how you had to wear a mask? Your kids had to wear a mask in school? Remember how the kids had to stay home and couldn't go to school? And remember how the kids fell behind in school? And they're suffering today because of that madness that they called, Trump called it the Chinese virus, COVID virus, COVID-19. A lot of people called it all kinds of things. People still don't realize. Did it come from Wuhan? Fauci said no. Where'd he go? What happened to Fauci, Dr. Fauci? He was everywhere. A few months ago, he's gone. I don't know where he went. Do you know? 727-441-3000. If you want to get squeeze in one more call, 727-441-3000. I think maybe we could play one more clip. You want to, Juan, rail her out there?
Just a quick point of clarification, Kareem. So when Donald Trump is talking about a bloodbath, it is violent rhetoric. What was it when Joe Biden said in 2020, what we can't let happen is let this primary become a negative bloodbath?
So I'm going to be really mindful and careful about Donald Trump, but if you read, because he is a candidate, we're talking about a 2024 election, you should read what he said in its context. So you got to read what he said in context.
Yeah, it's been something they've been saying for years, sports. He was talking about the car industry, Donald Trump. He was in Michigan. He was talking to the dealers, the people that build the cars. And he was talking about Mexico, how they're building, Chinese are building plants in Mexico for electric cars. I get a little upset. My voice gets louder. My voice gets loud. Because Karine Jean-Pierre, or KJP, for people that don't know how to pronounce her name like I do, they might think that this woman knows what she's talking about, and they might really believe her. But she knows, and so do I, that Donald Trump did not mean bloodbath. He meant bloodbath like she's saying. He didn't mean it that way, I guess. Like Biden thinks. Biden said it. It's just another word. Bloodbath. It's happening all over. Look at fentanyl. coming into the country. Look at all the people that are dying in the country of fentanyl, bloodbath. Look at the abortions, the people that are dying by the millions, the babies that are dying in the abortion clinics, bloodbath. The Democrats, they are the ones that talk about, what? What have they done good? What's better? Is anything better right now under Joe Biden? Is anything better? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago under Donald Trump? Before COVID. Let's go back to before COVID, because that wasn't Donald Trump's fault, even though Joe Biden made it think that it was by Donald Trump's fault. That was not Joe Biden's fault. And the vaccine, excuse me, Joe, the vaccine, does anybody remember Operation Warp Speed? And Donald Trump was the one that they got the vaccine and they held it off to tell anybody till late on into the election, you know, 2020. They held it back. It came out and it saved a lot of lives. A lot of people are still wondering if they hadn't taken it, but I believe it saved lives. I believe the vaccine saved lives. I got two shots myself. You know, my kids all got shots. A lot of Americans got shots, and I believe Donald Trump was the one. And then Joe Biden comes out and pushes it after he's elected. But he was the one that told you he was going to unite the country for the better. Are you better off right now in this country than you were 4 years ago under Joe Biden's administration, which is kind of like Obama's administration in a third term? Because Obama, you know, he's right in cahoots with Biden. I mean, he groomed him for the job. And I don't say that lightly. I say that he did. He was with him 8 years. So what's he going to be like? Susan Rice, who was with Obama, is in the White House. She's helping. Even James Carville, who said they're fleeing, they're running away. He's still a pundit for the Democrats. He might get fired after that statement. You know, well, they'll use it, but they'll get rid of you really, really quick. And this is the Only in America show with Bill Cochran. We're going to be on next Tuesday, 6 o'clock. And listen to my minutes throughout the week at 8 o'clock. And I believe 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock every day on this station. A little minute, a little refreshing minute about different things. Because sponsored by MyPillow. And if you're going to get a MyPillow, use my promo code BILLUSA and get all the deals. And we're going to go out with that beautiful song, Only in America. Juan's going to start it now, I believe. And I can still talk. You know, I love talking over this song because Jay of the Americans, when I hear it, it reminds me of yesterday. Back in the 60s, Jay Black wrote this beautiful song about America. And you know, he talks about you can become a millionaire. You know, wake up a millionaire. You be president in America. And, you know, it's happened to a lot of people not becoming president. Just keep playing that until the end. And, you know, people love this country just like I do. And don't give up hope, you know. Don't ever give up because America's got a lot of life ahead of it, you know. We're going to get Donald Trump back in office November and win the White House back. And the first day in office, what's he going to do? Well, he's got a lot of plans. He's going to be a busy man on the first day in office. So pray for America. Pray for this great country. Thank you, Juan, for doing the show. And, you know, God bless America. What a classy girl like you.